for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture of PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in their games. Well, it's actually more than that now. It's like 15 something plus years in their games. Big Brian, thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can for one more week.
Check out our this year, not forever, just this year.
Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. There's a blue sky, apparently, as well.
Yeah, we're about to hit TikTok, too, so there you go.
And we're about to hit TikTok.
That's right. Check us out. Get down, leave kids.
Come and hit us up. Check us out.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist and possibly soon TikTok. And where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other sorted shit with our logos on it. Yeah. It's one of those things, Max. We just, you know, I was chatting with a friend of the show. He runs an agency, and he's like, "Yo, I'm about to have access to some TikTok stuff, including like TikTok Live, focusing on podcasts. Do you guys want to give it a whirl? Like, we're not, so it won't be any sort of contracted capacity, but we'll just totally receive some sweet nepotism. It might be a bit of fun. Like, we've been streaming to Twitch like since before this show's inception." You know, and then YouTube we used to as well, and then we found it was just easier to do the one. It'd be cool. Because you're a TikTok head.
Love it.
Do you watch podcasts on there?
No.
Shit.
But I have a very short attention span. So if the TikTok video is for longer than like 10 seconds, it'll lose my interest pretty quick.
Yeah. You're the exact person that I can't stand as I'm in my day job trying to make videos that are entertaining.
I listen to audiobooks at 1.5 speed. No, I'm kidding. I don't do that.
Ooh, that would be a true sign of insanity if you could do that. God damn. But yeah, that could be a cool little thing. You head into 2025, do something a bit new. You know, we've been doing this the same way for however goddamn long. It wouldn't hurt to, you know, switch it up a little bit, Ryan. Maybe. See what happens. Hey, B-Man.
Too bad.
Yeah?
Not too bad. It's been chill. I'm in holiday mode. The end is near. I can see the end.
Are you in holiday mode but not in holiday yet?
Correct.
Cool. So what does holiday mode mean to Max? What do you engage with? Like, how does it feel within you?
So I've started doing I'm now watching Christmas movies.
Oh, okay. What have you hit so far?
So far, I have watched a lot of like mini episode of Christmas nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done because my son weirdly loves it. I've watched the Shaun the Sheep Christmas episode.
Oh, Shaun the Sheep, fox man, like that's good.
I watched what is it? The Santa Claus,
of course,
number one. I'm gonna get through those.
It's three of them, isn't it?
Yeah, plus the TV series.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you are pretty much sorted. You're gonna be over Christmas by Christmas.
Yeah, I'm partially over Christmas already, but I'm lucky. I'm still enjoying the Christmas movies because they're not impacting me directly.
And they have this lovely idealized version of Christmas that no one ever fucking has.
Yeah,
but it'd be nice. It'd be nice to live.
Other than that, it's just chilling. I've got so many birthdays between now and like still now and the end of the year.
Yeah,
I've got one to go to tomorrow. It's my dad's birthday in 3 days' time. My wife's a week after that. My child's 2-3 days after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know your son recently celebrated a birthday that I didn't get invited to. Piece of shit. you know, whatever. I thought we were friends. Apparently not.
Well, I know it's James's guest list, not mine. You know, just yeah, lots of birthdays in December. Yeah, people are banging in the first part of the year, I guess. You know, in late February, early March, people like to bang. 9 months later, babies. Yes, no, my son did have his birthday, and I feel your pain. I absolutely feel your pain, Max. Part of the reason we're recording today on a Monday, because we normally record on Monday if I have wrestling of a weekend. Didn't have wrestling this weekend. Instead, I had 3 fucking children's birthday parties, and the idea of doing anything last night made me want to die.
Emotional wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely emotional and physical wrestling, because my son is absolutely chaos. So there's absolutely that, which is just insane. But no, it was cool. Obviously, my son had his birthday party on the Saturday. Max wasn't invited. It was down at the local arcade. So it was one of those like good birthday parties where people just kind of dump their kids and run. So like all the parents, and like that's part of the reason Max, why we weren't invited. Because we invited your daughter. She's a little littler. Wouldn't have been able to get us involved, especially with like the, because there was bowling and laser tag and then just a butt ton of time down in the arcade. So the parents were, oh, sweet, here you go, and then they just legged it. So we were there, left as the most responsible parents, which is a weird choice. There's a lot of trust in these parents just to throw their children at us and then leave. But I guess that's what school is, I suppose. But they're at least like, you know, certified to handle your stupid kids.
I mean, to be fair, if the news has taught us anything recently, people in positions of power are not necessarily good
no, people. Or good at their job or good people. Yeah. Yeah, and then on Sunday, we had a bowling party in the morning, which said James had bowling 2 days in a row. He's like, I really like bowling. I'm like, good, we'll have to go back. So that we most certainly will do, because I know you like bowling. I know your daughter likes bowling.
I know, I invited you bowling a couple of weeks ago, and you're like, ah, no, I got my son.
Well, yeah, no, we're off doing something else, I think. Normally, he doesn't just...
I think it was like 7:30 at night also.
Yeah, it was also late. I'm like, I just gave him his like night pills. He's going to be unconscious momentarily, and we'll all be happy. But yeah, I should absolutely do that again, because he did have a blast. Scored him, what did he score? 98, not too bad for his like third time bowling ever. I know it's like 300 is the best, but
you just gotta get Switch Sports, mate. It's fucking, he can bowl whenever he wants to in the comfort of his own home.
Oh yeah, I go get the Switch, I guess.
And seated.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no moving on that one. Big fan. Yeah, and then a bounce in the trampoline place party in the afternoon. So thankfully, you know, didn't have to do any bouncing myself, because every time I do, I seem to like try to do some sort of Jeff Hardy swanton bomb and blow out my shoulder on the trampoline. But yeah, thankfully that's all done and dusted. You know, I think I have one more wrestling show that is next weekend. That's on Saturday. So I got to fly up to Sydney Friday for my Christmas party. And then I fly back down Saturday morning, literally get off the plane, get in my car and drive to Seaford for a wrestling show, and then I come back, and then I'll die on Sunday, and then I'm pretty much done. I've done fuck all Christmas shopping, because you were talking about Christmas earlier, because I don't do anything until my son's birthday, because it's his birthday, that's priority number one, then I can think about Christmas. You shouldn't do that with your child, though, because she's born on the 23rd of Christmas, and that'd be a really rough decision to try to do all your Christmas shopping in 2 days.
We've had our Christmas gifts bought for like
months. Yeah, I know we discussed it the last couple of weeks. I keep mentioning it because I'm just like, it's reminding myself to, Ryan, fucking go get your son some presents. So I appreciate the weekly reminder, Max. Thank you. But yeah, so I haven't done any of that yet. Just fucking chaos. What was that?
I said, go get your son some fucking presents.
Yeah. I don't know what he wants. I did all the best ones for his birthday. But yeah, outside of that, the week's been pretty chill. Not much to report, really. Things are things. But yeah, I guess that we can just then simply transition to like what we've been playing. And Max, you started playing a game today. I know you probably played like 3 minutes of it, but I know you're very excited. So maybe even not discuss what you played, but why you're so excited to play this game.
Why I'm so excited to it. Okay, so you are obviously alluding to the fact that I bought into PoE 2, or Path of Exile 2. Sorry, I am a huge fan of that genre of game. You know, my love for it started back in Diablo and then carried on through. I unfortunately missed the bandwagon when PoE first came out. And it was not... It is a very dense game to try and dive into at a later date. It didn't do the greatest job of onboarding you. The skill trees are very complicated in how they handle class systems and skills, and they've kind of streamlined that a little bit here in PoE 2. They still have the massive fuck-off passive skill tree. There's like 1,600 skills. You zoom out, and it's very fucking daunting. So essentially, wow. Picture like the Final Fantasy X sphere grid.
Yeah.
It's that. It's basically that.
Gross. My anxiety around like decision making and like, am I putting this right skill point? That would make me I would just have panic attack and die.
So it does a good job. There is a search function.
Imagine trying to respect that bitch.
There is a search function inside the skill, inside the passive skill tree. So you can be like, I want anything with the keyword of minion. And it's like, okay. Man, and it just fucking glows everything that has the minion keyword in it. Or if you want frost or fire or however you want to build your character, you can put in the keyword that you're looking for. And it's like, hey, these are the ones that you want.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Go in this general direction.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So, yeah, you're right. I installed it this afternoon about 2 o'clock. I played for 45 minutes while my son slept because he fucked us all over this morning.
For context, he slept like way longer than he should have, so it threw the whole fucking day out.
Yeah, so it all started yesterday. Yesterday, little shit decided to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and no one wanted to deal with him at 5 o'clock in the morning. So Ali got up, gave him a bottle and put him back to bed.
Yeah.
He then woke up at 9 o'clock and went, I've had my nap for the day, motherfuckers. I'm going to go from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. and not stop. And then this morning, I use my children as my alarm clock. They come and wake me up when they're ready to go type thing. And my wife wakes me up at about 7 o'clock. And she's like, hey, don't forget I'm starting work early. Do you want me to put our daughter's lunch on for kinder? I'm like, no, don't do it. Because the kids might sleep in a little bit and I don't want rice being left on the stove for too long. So cool, no worries. Next thing I hear, my son's crying through the baby monitor. I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to get up. Fucking 10 o'clock in the morning. We're an hour late for kinder. I'm like, okay, Hadley's just not going today. And then Hadley's like, Dad, I want to go kinder. I'm like, fuck, okay. Got in there by 11. By the time I got the kids up, dressed, breakfasted, made lunch, packed bag, nailed it. I'm like, oh shit, when's Ollie gonna sleep? Because I messaged Ali, I'm like, hey, did he wake up last night? She's like, no, but he was awake this morning when I left for work. I'm like, he clearly wasn't because he didn't wake me up. And she's like, well, I heard him like chatting to himself. Maybe he put himself back to sleep. I'm like, no, fuck, he's not gonna nap again. So at about 1 o'clock, I gave him a bottle and put him into bed, and he's chatting away to himself, and he eventually put himself to sleep. And then slept for about 30 minutes, which is fine. So I've played maybe an hour and a half. I'm like level 5. It's very early. But they've made it more, instead of being like the simple point and click ARPG of old, they've followed the suit of Diablo, where there's now a dodge function. Bosses now have mechanics, so you kind of have to... and telegraphed attacks, so you have to kind of dodge out of the way, and it's like a Souls light inside an ARPG, which is nice.
I can certainly understand why you're wanted to play it.
So yeah, I will be playing that for a while. The other thing that I checked out this week is I checked out Infinity Nikki. I've played the opening section of, I got my magical dress, entered my magical world, killed some magical things, and then my daughter came in, she's like, this looks dumb, I want to play the Lego robot game, turn it off. I'm like, okay. And then I haven't played.
The pretty dresses and etc. didn't sell your daughter?
No, she just wanted to shoot robot in Lego world.
Good kid.
Playing that Lego Horizon Adventures still.
Well, that's good. I'm glad she's still getting some extra use out of it. That's solid.
Um, Other than that, I haven't been playing much. Been watching a lot of telly.
Still.
Yeah.
And Christmas shit.
Yeah, Christmas shit.
I say that though, like I have been. Speaking of TV, like I've started watching Eastbound and Down. Have you ever watched that? So it's a HBO series starring Danny McBride. Best known for like being Danny McBride, I guess. He was in like This Is the End. He was the dude, the chaos one. So the idea of the show is that Danny McBride plays a baseball player called Kenny Powers, who used to be this exceptional baseball player. He was never really that amazing. He was a really good pitcher, but he kind of became like this larger than life, like boom, I'm the best dude in the world, blah 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 blah. And then eventually loses it all, and it's him trying to rebuild himself. It's dumb, it's stupid, but is genuinely compelling and a little bit touching and sincere in its own weird way. Because Danny McBride is just being very much himself, or that character that he's best known for. So it's very crude and very raunchy, and it shouldn't make sense. But there are moments where he delivers a really eloquent speech that's really caring and thoughtful, but it's delivered in that crudeness.
Mm.
Yeah, it's weird. I can't quite explain how it works, but it's very, very good. Even Phoebe, who I thought would not be into it at all, has kind of come around on it, and she's starting to get invested in it, which is cool. Been watching a bit of that. MGB in the chat does jump in and says, I need to get LEGO Horizon Adventures, especially on Switch. I want to play it lying down on my bed with a can of lemonade by my side while my phone charges. Look, you know, there's those ideal scenarios, right? We all have that ideal scenario. It's your ideal gaming scenario, Max.
I was doing it before.
Kids sleeping, playing Path Exile.
Oh, and I played some Marvel Rivals.
Touch on that. Did you want to?
Oh, I literally played one game. My team went completely flawless. I don't know how. None of us died. We got 40-something kills and no deaths as an entire team. It is Overwatch with a Marvel skin. I have only played as one character, and I think I will only ever play as this character because it's fucking great. I was playing as Cloak and Dagger. So Cloak and Dagger are a dual character that you can. One of the abilities is you swap between them. Dagger is a healer, and Cloak is an anti-healer. So he prevents healing from being done from the other team. So essentially, you start as Dagger, you throw down your heal over time. You jump into the combat, you switch to Cloak, you throw out your anti-heal stuff so they can't heal while your team is healing. He's fucking up.
That is pretty dirty. If all the characters you can play, that feels really dirty. Normally if you get shot or whatever, you're like, yeah, okay, I can work with that. That's fine. Oh, there's a big shield in the way. I can work with that. Someone's like, fuck your healing. And that was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and Cloak's really dodgy too, because you can, you essentially cloak and fly. So you can just fly into their back line, anti-heal them from behind, and then switch back to Cloak, heal yourself and run away.
Sick.
But it is kind of good fun. It plays really nice. It feels nice. The shooting feels good. I played it on PlayStation 5. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, and I've been playing OG Fortnite.
Because you mentioned that. Is it hitting what you wanted? Because I downloaded it after, was it last week? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll download it. I haven't played it because I opened it and the UI is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. So if you play OG Fortnite with no build, you get shit on by everyone. If you play with build mode enabled, it skill-based match makes you and throws you into a fucking bot lobby if you haven't played in years. So last time I played, there was 8 human players and 90-something bots.
And you smooshed, I assume.
Until I hit a human player. Because they're all tweaked out pre-adolescent motherfuckers with 0.001 reaction time speed.
Damn, fucking kids. Kids and their sugar and their hopped up. Just craziness. Fuck. It's hard being old.
But I bought the season pass. But the battle pass. I'm doing my thing. Jumping in, doing my dailies.
Yeah.
It's good fun. Nice. Bring back memories.
It's been a daily. I still have been playing Call of Duty on the daily. Go in, do a couple rounds. Have a bit of fun with that. I'm like level 38, I think. Still really good. I hate that I like it. I still really, really fucking hate that I like it.
I haven't played the new Zombies map yet. It dropped 5 days ago. I still haven't played
it. Oh, yeah, because they dropped some new multiplayer maps as well. And I was playing, I think I played one of them today. I'm like, this map sucks ass. So, and I hadn't seen it before. So I just thought, maybe I've not seen this one before. But no, maybe it must be one of those new poo ones. There are two other games that I have been playing, although I can't talk about them this very second. If you keep an eye out on player2.net.au, there will be some shared content with myself and good friend of the show, Paul James, that I'm excited to talk about. One of them came by surprise. The other one I was keen to check out anyway. And big win. Big win. Glad to be able to mess with both those games. Outside of that, there are, you know, we kind of went from no games really to like many games, or at least I did, because I'm that dingus that goes, oh, that game looks cool on Keymailer. And go bing, and next thing you know, I'm playing some game. Like, I'm so used to not hearing back at all from anyone in these things. Like, oh, yeah, cool. And then sometimes they'll come back. I go, oh, shit, hi, we were playing. So this week, that did lead me to play a couple of games that are very much in, pardon me, my bullshit. The first one, it was Alchemist Shop Simulator. Right, now, Max, now in the time that we've done this show and the time that we've been, probably in the last, like, year, really. It's well known my love of simulators since I was a child. However, in the last year or so, now that I have a much more capable PC, I have been in a position to where I can fuck around with more PC games. This week, it is set. It extended into Alchemist Shop Simulator. So not like Medieval Tavern Simulator, Max. That was a different game. That's different. This one is about running an alchemy shop. So you sell a bunch of like wares, like your little swords and little bones and other things, ingredients that you would need to make your potions. However, you also have the ability to make these potions yourself. Excuse me, and then sell the potions, and then scale that up into building your own, selling them here, there. You'll get orders coming in. Excuse me, as I drink a drink. I made the bad decision to breathe in my own saliva. Excuse me. So essentially that. I like the game for a couple different reasons. One, it's awesome. It's simple. It's a good sim game that you can just play without sort of really having to think too hard. So it's not an ultra sim. It's more of those lifestyle sim games. It's got the beauty of shop management, which is a theme within simulator games that I really enjoy, whether it be like Supermarket Simulator, Gas Station Simulator, Trading Card Game Simulator. Big fan of all that. But then it's also got make to order, so you're making these potions, which forces you to also try different ingredients rather than focusing solely on what you could sell to create the most profit, et cetera, et cetera. You then have to also consider the alternative, people need these potions, how am I going to make that? Still relatively early days, as I said, I've only had it like weekish, not even, and life has been life. Actually, I got it just before the weekend, so my son's birthday did quite get in the way of that. But thoroughly enjoying it so far, will most definitely continue as we head into the break as well. We've got one more show of the year, then we've got a three-week break maybe. And then we come back, then we will, I'm sure I'll be like, oh, I played a fuck ton more simulator game. That was really cool. The other game that I messed with is in the same simulator vein. It is Tiny Home Simulator. Now, Max, as someone that's just recently built a house, did you consider building a tiny home? No, me either. And that's why I thought this would be a laugh. I saw it in Keymailer once again. And it looked like House Flipper, but using tiny houses. And I find tiny houses fascinating. Not because I ever want to live in them, because I'd rather die, but I like the principle of them. And you think about, mate, how much crap can I fit in this very small space? Now, as a very clearly identifiably neurodivergent person, I'm a collector of assorted shit, as you can see behind me. And I don't live like minimalist. I don't live tiny. I live quite, you know, a lot of shit. Quite large. Quite hoardy, if I'm being honest. So I thought it'd be a laugh to play a game that's forcing me to take better advantage of a space whilst delivering the client's needs, because it is, you know, very similar to House Flipper. You build it, send it to them, et cetera, et cetera. There's a couple extra bits within this game that make it a lot more fun compared to, say, House Flipper. You do have your workshop where you do your house, your tiny house duties. Then upon completion of your task or your job, you then have to tow the trailer to the destination. So there is this small open world setup outside of your workshop. And there's a couple of key locations in there that, like, I've chosen not to mess with yet. I assume the game will direct me to it in time. Right now, I'm just having fun building and driving and doing the mission, then coming back. And yeah, I kind of like it. It's graphically, it's very, very low poly. I don't know, best way to explain it. It's not, it's clearly an indie game, but I don't hate, I actually quite like it for that. It does give it this little bit extra charm. Because it looks like a softer version, as I said, of House Flipper. Well, House Flipper, like, especially House Flipper 1, I haven't played 2, but I presume the visual fidelity of 2 is a lot better. It feels like a, you know, lower res version of 1, especially when you get in that open world setting and you sort of go up in scale. Like, the world itself is quite expansive-ish, but at the same time, it's not densely filled or densely populated, because the game is just not built for that. It's chosen to use its resources elsewhere. And I think it's a relatively small team. So I dig it because it hits the right part of the weirdness in my brain that's like, oh yeah, let's build some shit. That part I enjoy. And then the open world part is also a pretty cool little twist on it as well. Once again, we'll have more to say about that as well when the time comes over this week and the week after. Max, what have you sent me?
That's the passive.
Oh, dear God.
That's the skill tree that I was talking about.
I thought it was a star map for a second. I'm like, why are you sending me a picture of the fucking night sky? Dear God. It's not even a joke. That's literally what I thought. And like, it branches back on itself. Oh, my God.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
That is brutal. Damn. In the chat, Big Shep does say, we stand the assorted shit collector life. Look, it's a choice that we make, and we're kind of like those, what are those birds that just nick shit and keep them for no reason?
Bin chickens.
I don't think it's the ibises, but it's one of them birds. But collecting actual garbage is a bin chicken, and some of our shit's this is pretty garbage. Just collect all the shiny things. But outside of that, Call of Duty, that. The games I can't mention. Let me do a quick check of my PlayStation app. Still haven't got to the completion of Blatro. Craig has. He got it as we were doing the show. A picture came through from him of him wrapping it up.
Did you see my picture from the other night where I reset my profile, set everything to not unlock?
And still smashed it?
And smashed it on my first, very first run.
Yep. If anything, it's just made me go, fuck this game.
No, I told you, man. You just got to go all in on that first joke.
No, I can't. You can't, because I'm clearly, have some sort of acquired brain injury, and I'm incapable of playing this game. But maybe out of nowhere, I'll gain some intellect. I'll collect it, absorb it. I might be able to use channel into Balatro, and then I'll be like, "What the fuck did I channel into Balatro for? That makes no sense." But outside of that, yeah, not really. Not really played too much else. Let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
That's a wrap. Sony has confirmed...
What? I just started.
Sony has confirmed that the annual PlayStation wrap-up will become available very soon. Tomorrow, in fact. Each December, PlayStation 5 and PS4 players can log in online and get their very own PlayStation wrap-up, providing all sorts of fun stats and information about your gaming habits and achievements for the year. From the 10th of December, tomorrow, you'll be able to get your wrap-up
today at time of recording.
As
in today of publishing, I should say.
As revealed on the official PlayStation website. Xbox has already done theirs. I checked it out. My kid smashed it. She got like 30,000 gamer score this year. She played like 160 hours of fucking Muddy Pups.
Yep.
I'm scared to see what our Astrobot numbers are.
Nice. So, like, I have a predicament in that I share my account with my son because he has my PlayStation 4. I have my PS5 here. So every year, at least two of the top three games I've played of that year do tend to be whatever bullshit my son was playing. Now, the other day I was scrolling through my cross media bar and Ragnarok was on there because James has been playing Ragnarok recently. Now, granted, I have played and platinumed that game when it came out. I also played Valhalla for quite a run of time. But somehow, my God of Ragnarok file is 109 hours. And I didn't do any of that many. So I have a feeling God of War Ragnarok will make my list again this year. I don't think Spider-Man will make my list because I don't think he's been playing that much. But, yeah. You have it worse, though.
Yeah, just a little bit. Owing to the nature of how we do things, I get two wrap-ups.
And then you have to do the math and add them together to get your result.
Yeah, it's normally not worth it. One's normally bad enough.
So for the reason being, part of what we do when it comes to game codes, and never, the publishers actually know this, is we game share. So we have the Popsy account, which is our like the business account, which is where the codes go. And then because my console is the primary console, I can play under my name and Max logs in at his place and plays through the Popsy account, which is why the Popsy account has a platinum trophy for Astrobot and Max does not.
And Ratchet and Clank.
Man, yeah. So that's a downside.
Yeah.
But there's always like a cool set of avatars or something that come out of it. So let's get avatars maybe. Maybe a cool theme now that themes are sort of a thing with the 30th anniversary stuff, but
well, there's news on that later, but spoiler alert, they're not here forever.
Oh, I know that. It's bum. But what's interesting as a big part of the wrap up though, Max, is when it goes, oh, you did this many hours of VR titles or whatever. And look, admittedly, not so much this year. You would have a bit more though, with your like Max Mustard. But it appears that Sony has not forgotten about that PSVR 2 after all, as it appears to be developing new features for its virtual reality tech. Currently, in order to play PSVR games, you need to use either a DualSense controller or a pair of the PSVR 2 Sense controllers, depending on the title. While the latter has built-in finger tracking, as in you can like, it's got touch sensitive where you can just kind of help to grip things, doesn't really finger track per se. Except for the thumbsticks, you can put your thumb on the thumbstick, like identifies touch on the thumbstick, which is cool. I lost that. Already feature on some. Hang on. While the latter has built-in finger tracking, it looks like Sony is taking that a step further with full hand tracking tech. Already a feature on some PC VR kits, hand tracking means you can play games without the need to hold any controllers at all, with the software registering the positioning and gesturing of your hands in order to interact. Sony has been demoing PSVR's two hand tracking feature. The demo has participants playing a cleaning mini game using only their hands to spray water and cleanse the characters. The hand tracking tech is described as smooth and low latency, displaying the on-screen hands at 60 frames per second. So essentially what it is doing, so the VR2 does have cameras on the front, and the original belief that they were to be used just to be able to do that switch between so you can see the world around you without having to take the headset off. Now it looks to be using those exact cameras to monitor your hand movements in real time in front of you. Now, I know, is it the Oculus or the MetaQuest? Isn't Oculus and MetaQuest the same thing?
Yes.
I don't know. Whichever the other one that also has, like, cameras on the front. Like, I think they're doing the same as mentioned with PC VR. It's kind of a cool idea. Would you rather use a controller or just use your hands?
Depends on what I'm playing.
Mm. If you want, like, Diddy Simulator, you want to be like, and then...
Well, see, you went that way. My first one was like...
I just want to do like that in VR. I was like,
I'm going to play little, like
finger... Sorry, I'm doing jazz hands, essentially.
I'm thinking I'm going to be fucking Naruto. I'm going to be doing like my fucking...
Just goes wide in Tokyo. You're like...
casting spells.
Actually, that would be fun because back on the Wii, Budokai Tenkaichi 3... was on Wii, and it did require you to do like hand gestures to Kamehameha, etc., and that was kind of fun. So I can certainly understand the appeal of that. It would be cool though, because like I find, except for depending on what you're playing, when I was playing Metro, obviously Metro Awakening recently, like being able to grip and hold, like it feels like there's something in your hand, that's cool. But then the touch sensitive thing implies that like, you've got to kind of like squeeze the whole time, and then like I'm sure it'll remove some hand fatigue, you know, which I assume is a thing in VR. In some experiences, yeah, I get it, especially if like gripping the thing ever so tightly. But like there's once again, mostly because games are not built around it because the tech hasn't been available. However, I've not felt there's been a game that I really needed to have all 10 digits for. Except for like that opening sequence in the Batman Arkham VR where there's a piano. And I really wanted to play the like fuck around on the piano, but could only do two fingers because Batman only knows chopsticks apparently. And like that was fun, but I kind of wanted to be able to like blah, 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 and have fun with it. Or I'd grab a guitar and go blah, 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 as well. I'd noticed my guitar and my piano sounded the same, but musically they would be different. In short, I don't know whether I'd want to use it or not. It is cool in principle. That is absolutely true. In the chat, MGB jumps in and says, hand tracking is fantastic. If this means we'll get VR chat on PS5, I'll be spending so many hours on that. Oh, that's a good point.
VR porn's going to be
way more. Oh, man, people are going to be touching so many like virtual titties or wangs even. I'm like, we're not judgmental. Like, you touch the genitals that you want to. Okay, you do you.
With permission.
Yeah, consensually, of course. Absolutely. You probably should specify that. The Diddy Simulator will have that. You know, normally it's like epilepsy warning, whatever. It just comes and says, consent is important. Like, really important. Let's see. Oh, Mute can vouch for the DBZ Tenkaichi 3, which is awesome. Jimmy also adds, and Creed Rise to Glory would also be good with hand tracking. But even then, you're like, you're doing that anyway. You're doing the boxing motion with the controllers, right?
So I don't know, maybe you want to open palm slap them.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah, just like, respect my authority. But I also guess, because like the problem with the sense controls, because they have that loopy thing, you can't really get your hands like together. So therefore, you can't do your what could be gang signs and or Naruto hands because they do kind of clank together, which would be a problem.
I do.
And MGB just jump in and says, thank goodness the VR2 is cheap at the moment. Boxing Day, I'll definitely be getting one. Because that's one of the things, I guess, in context with the tech that, you know, that they're wanting to implement. They've been heavily discounted as part of Black Friday. So it can go either two ways. They are really keen to push old stock, or they kind of want to make something happen out of it. I think it's the first one. Like, they're not supporting it. They're just like, get as many out of here as we can.
So, in case you've been living under a rock for the last week, Sony released PlayStation 30th anniversary update for the PS5, which added themes based on past consoles and a full-on recreation of the iconic PS1 startup screen. Players are greeted with said screen upon powering up their PlayStation 5s, but there's a catch. Both the themes and the boot screen are only available for a limited time. Social media sites and Reddit are absolutely packed with fans who want the themes and startup screen to remain beyond the anniversary celebration. Why? Why are they taking it away?
No, because I get it. I understand it. I think about it in more like it's too much of a good thing. Like, if it's there, it's always there, it's less nice. It will lose its impact. However, for the PS4, when they released the 20th anniversary theme, the second that became available, I used it and I never turned it off the entire time I had my PS4. Because I liked the gray, I liked it, and I got to show Phoebe this week. I was like, oh my God, it's 30th anniversary, check this out. So I booted it up, you know, I heard the sound of my youth, I, you know, was welling up, it was an emotional moment for me. She was like, I don't fucking get it. I'm like, that's fair. Because we did also just watch the 30th anniversary, like, trailer thing that Sony released over the week as well. That was like, you know, it was like for family, you know, for love, and like it's clashing all these games and this history of the 30 years of PlayStation. And I'm watching this and I'm like, I've played every one of these games and I've loved almost all of these games. And like, it's just the way it's doing it, I'm just like, oh. And then it ends a little lovely. And then the boot up screen, I hear that, you know, and my heart just sings. I wouldn't be mad if I had that forever. It will be sad when it's gone. But maybe I'll just have to never update my PlayStation again. That would be dumb. Why would I ever do that? But have you updated your theme in line with that?
Yeah, PS2.
I was going to say, yeah, because it's PS1, PS2, PS3. I've stayed at PS1 just because that's my good nostalgia. PS2 I did love a lot. 3... is very similar to Force. It's not that exciting, but like the purple and like the weird building fucking thingies, they were sick. I was sick on PS2. But why PS2 for you though?
It's the only PlayStation console I never owned.
Oh, that makes it way more like emotionally painful. I'm like, I have PS1 because I had one and I loved it. It made me so happy. Like the happiness that I got, and you're like, this one makes me sad because I never had a PS2. I just want to be tortured every time I turn on my PlayStation. What's with this self-flagellation?
Why not? Wanted to see what all the hype was about.
Speaking of hype, it'd be really nice if there was, like, you know, all this hype for fucking PlayStation handhelds when we had them. But there has been a fair bit of noise lately around a potential new portable games console from PlayStation, and now Digital Foundry, well-respected tech gaming YouTube and analytics company, they're fantastic, has weighed in on the subject. Quote, we actually heard about this handheld some months ago from a couple of sources specifically, they say. The report from Bloomberg, quote, confirmed what we had seen and heard off the record about this existing, end quote. Interesting, Linneman, one of the individuals from Digital Foundry, says that the device sounds quite further out, end quote, than he initially thought. But he concludes that a future in which users are offered a home console and a handheld is, quote, very likely at this point, end quote. After discussing the possibility of a Steam Deck-like PlayStation device on Push Square, the Variety majority of readers are very much in favor of it. Furthermore, 26% of their readers said they'd be willing to pay up to $400 or pounds for such a console, with similar percentages happy to pay more. Now, we discussed last week, and when we looked at the major initial rumors around this, we talked about, like, hey, I would be keen for the console. Also doesn't work for me because I don't go anywhere, so a portable handheld doesn't help me. For you're in a similar boat. However, you don't have to drive to a lot of places. You get, you know, your wife wants to drive. That's kind of cool. It is interesting to know that Digital Foundry can somewhat validate these rumors.
It all depends on its price point.
Hmm.
Like, because, I mean, to buy a Steam
Deck... Steam Decks are fucked.
Yeah, to buy a Steam Deck, you're looking at like $1,000 plus.
Yeah.
That's what I paid for my home console. More than what I paid
Which
for
was
my
more than what I wanted to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's
one everyone's of cracking things. The shits about the Pro being super expensive. They're like, yeah, but you know what we could do? We could get a Steam Deck.
Get a Steam Deck. Yeah, it'll all depend on the price point and what it does. Like, you know, is it running them natively? Can I? Is it big enough to put my disc in, or is it digital
only? Walkman. Fucking hell! Yeah, you know what's really awesome about the Walkman? CD skipping. Let's bring that back. It's all about nostalgia these days, Max.
Are they gonna fucking do some proprietary fucking cartridge?
Oh, UMDs bullshit again? Because that was just as a good idea.
Yeah, with their fucking proprietary memory cards as well.
Oh, the Memory Stick Duo on the Vita. Ugh. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah. Look, I'm still a sucker and I'd probably buy it because why the fuck not at some point? Like, I haven't got the Pro yet. Still want it though. You know what I mean? Like, but wait and see.
Still $50 a month through Telstra.
Oh, yeah, I did pitch that to Phoebe. She's like, huh? And I don't remember whether... I assume she just glazed over at that point. She may have given me a response. I don't remember. But yeah, mostly she looked at me like I was an idiot. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to stop talking now because I assume that I'm assuming the answer is going to be a no. it's your turn. It's your turn, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Now I'm turning 30. As we alluded to before, PlayStation has turned 30 years old this week. Celebrations are in order. The company has just released a thank you video throughout
that's the one
channel, taking fans on a breakneck tour of some of the beloved games. Interestingly, most of the titles that show up in this montage are fairly new. There are a handful of classics that make the cut as well. The footage is overlaid with some choice words alluding to the scope of the PlayStation as a platform. Everything from love, friendship and family, to justice, fear and infamy. Select games tied to each of the themes. Notably, it ends with Bloodborne and Persistence.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. Yeah, I do quite like that because it did pop me.
PlayStation know that this is what everyone wants and they're just being cunts.
Yeah, absolutely being straight cunts about it. And it's sick. I really enjoyed it because it's all on, like, you know, with the soundscape of like a nice piano, acoustic-y sort of version of the Cranberries' Dreams, and it's like lovely. It's like, oh, you know, oh my, and it sounded a lot better than that, I hope. You know, and I quite like that because it's quite a nice song, especially when you slow it down, you give it a nice piano, it does sound really, really lovely. But yeah, like this is the trailer I mentioned earlier. Like, I watched this, and yes, there was a lot of newer titles in there, but they did show a couple of select old ones. Shadow of Colossus was in there. Katamari Damacy was a big one in there as well. And for me, like, it ticked all the boxes. And it, as wanky as it is,
recent Microsoft purchase Crash Bandicoot was also
in there. Yeah. That was the nostalgia tab. For me, that trailer encapsulated all of the things that I love about PlayStation and why I love their games. Because I said, like, all those beats, you know, when they showed the story, you know, love, and they picked, Joel and Ellie, like Joel playing guitar, playing the Pearl Jam song. family, they showed Kratos and Atreus. And I believe in the love, they also showed like Death Stranding and stuff as well, which obviously Death Stranding is fucking incredible. And Justice was Batman. I quite liked that one. That was pretty good. Infamy was infamous. But that's the other thing I like. So they showed Infamous. They showed Resistance. They showed a couple of ones I thought they wouldn't. And I guess, I think they were bold choices in that they were intentionally misleading. We know there's never going to be another Infamous game. We know there's never going to be another Killzone game. We know there's never going to be another Resistance game. And then they back end it with Bloodborne. Like, they primed it with enough to say, hey, we just acknowledge some of our popular franchises. But it also could be a straight up tease if they wanted to. Do you think that this is something, Max?
What was that? Sorry.
Do you think that, like, they're mixing these references, but then ending with something like Bloodborne, especially with the Katakawa, you know, stuff happening? Is this them just acknowledging it and having some fun, or is this something deeper?
Well, I mean, Bloodborne's Sony's IP. They don't need Katakawa to do anything with it.
No, but the understanding is, well, at least the perception of it is that FromSoft must be involved in some capacity, whether it be part of the agreement, whether it be the preferred delivery, which also makes no sense knowing as Bluepoint smash Demon Souls.
Yeah, who knows? I think Sony know that it's popular and this is going to give them free clicks and buzz.
It did exactly that.
Yeah. It's you now.
Oh, shit, it is me. God damn it. Happens every time. Quick bits.
Not much.
So Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 has now been pushed a week earlier with a release date of the 4th of Feb. So it'll be one of the first games of the year to really keep your eye on, I suppose, which is exciting.
It's going to kick off the shitstorm of February.
Yeah, Feb's going to be all kinds of fucked. So it's probably the correct move, because if they have the scope and the ability to pull it a week forward, you totally fucking should, because it's about to get gnarly. Amid rumors that they were going to close and they weren't, then they were, then they weren't. Yeah, it totally turns out they were. Ubisoft has shut down X Defiant. As a result, quite a large number of individuals have been laid off in the San Francisco office, also the Sydney office here in Australia. Kind of gnarly, bit sad. However, like MGB in the chat, we know, big fan of X Defiant. I played it. Did you play it?
I played it. I wasn't a huge fan. Me either.
Look, it didn't feel like anything special, which sucks. I didn't care enough about the Ubisoft IPs that they were using. I like the idea. I like the principle. So unlike Concord, which is just across the board really unimpressive, I could see the appeal in X Defiant. The name is still dumb. But when I played it, I was like, okay, I can see it. It's not for me. Were you in that kind of same space?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Excuse me. Excuse you. NGB in the chat goes, at least I get a refund for spending the money on the Ultimate Edition, but still, it really sucks to see a fun game and gets shut down. Well, that's true, because they are refunding those that I think got season passes or whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of season passes, Tekken 8 Season 2 has been confirmed, with the final Season 1 DLC to be announced at this week's Game Awards. Get exciting. I don't know who it's going to be. Eddie's in there. I don't care who else happens after that. And finally, rumor, It Takes Two devs have unannounced game to release March of next year. I know you're keen for that, Max. Hazelight,
do good shit. Hazelight, do good shit. Their games are purely cooperative. They are super fun to play. They generally have very unique mechanics, being that they can only be played multiplayer. Rumor has it is called Split Fictions. And there may be some stuff around TGA with it.
Makes sense.
I believe Perez and whatever his name is.
Keely,
for some reason I had Clooney in my mind, and I'm like, it's definitely not Clooney.
Yeah, it could be.
Perez and Kelly are best buds, similar to that of Kojima and Kelly.
Well, because, once he had that sort of viral moment a number of years ago, I believe it was for the announcement of No Way Out, when he said, fuck the Oscars or whatever it was. MGB in the chat mentions they fuck the Oscars. It's kind of become a staple, very similar to, Kojima. Obviously, we're not going to lay down our predictions for the Game Awards, because we'll talk about it next week, because I imagine all the answers we think there will be will likely be the ones that win, because it looks pretty on the nose this year. We've changed the categories to fit Elden Ring in. Oh, okay, cool. Elden Ring is winning. Awesome. Congrats, everyone.
DLC of the year, baby.
Yeah. Upcoming games?
No, nothing.
Oh.
We covered this last week. There's probably...
But yeah, so I know Legacy of Kain comes out on the 10th.
That comes out tomorrow.
Sure, there's other things.
Yeah, I'm getting it. It's just being a fuck.
Tribreaker, Sacred Symbols Odyssey, the game from Colin Moriarty and the studio he's a part owner of, Lilimo.
All right, dropping tomorrow, we've got Dungeons 4, not another multiverse.
Nice.
Coming to PS5. Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver 1 and 2 Remastered, PS5, PS4. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Readers Rewind, PS5, PS4. Fairy Tail 2 is coming to PS5, PS4, Switch.
That's your thing.
Why did I think that was coming out next year?
I thought it was coming out next year too.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to do something about that. The first one was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, you have a fairy tale tattoo on your back. Like, it makes sense.
I do have a fairy tale.
I always forget that because I'm so used to just thinking about your Final Fantasy ones.
I also always forget that due to it being on my back and I never see it.
Yeah.
It's behind me.
That it?
Totally. Yeah, that's it. But I totally thought it was coming out so soon.
Yeah, I could swear that was
it. It comes out tomorrow on PC.
Okay.
And then a couple of days later on. Okay, whatever. But those are not the games and the dates that matter. The games and the numbers that matter are what's on our draft list.
That's right. So with next week being our final show of the year, we'll be covering the Game Awards and our Game Awards, like our personal for the players, Game Awards, 6th annual, whatever it is. Holy shit, that's fucking crazy, by the way. 6th annual, Jesus. We thought we would end this week's show with the results of our fantasy draft. So for those playing along, at the beginning of the year, we collect from a pool of games provided by our viewers, our listeners, our community. And we, Max and I, pick 8 games each, and then very standard Metacritic draft as it is. We collect the scores as they stand and go from there. So, Max, who won last year?
Me, I think. You won the year before. I think we've been back and forth, right?
Yeah, okay. So in that case, let's kick things off with me.
Okay.
We'll go
alphabetical.
Which is, oh yeah, Betson, I guess. All right, so number one on my list, my first round pick was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, this was a banger. It is currently sitting at a 92.
Woo! Go me. Second was Tekken 8.
90.
Damn. My next one was Broken Roads. Now, that was the CRPG from Drop Bear Bytes out of, like, literally here in Geelong, out of Torquay. We will have to use the PS5 port for this.
Okay, well, it only has one review score, and it's only for PC.
Okay.
Which is a 61.
All right, well, we'll go with it. I'll put an asterisk on it, because there's only one result.
There was one review on PS5, and it doesn't have a score, because there's not enough people that reviewed it to get the Metacritic score.
Oh, well. My next one, however, was Rise of the Ronin.
Rise of the Ronin.
A game that I didn't enjoy as much as I thought I would. Well, actually, no, I didn't. I thought I wouldn't. I was like, oh, it's fine.
76.
That's not too bad. That's kind of in line of
Rise of the Ronin.
Do you think 76 is kind of where it should sit?
Yeah.
Good. Number 5 was Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, and that's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother. It's a big old zero.
Yeah. Helldivers 2 for number 6.
Oh, that was a banger.
That was like a 80s?
82.
82? 82. Nice. Number 7 was Pacific Drive.
Specific Drive is sitting at a 77 on PS5.
Fantastic. And my last one, which is a bummer, because I really enjoyed it, but I have a feeling it's Metacritic's maybe a little bit poo, and that was Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Drack. That's not how you spell dark, Max. That is the wrong thing. That's the new nightmare. Hang on. PS5, 63.
Beautiful. All right, well, let's have a look. So, let's do the math.
Give me your numbers.
92 plus 90 plus 61 plus 76 plus 0. Yeah, thanks. Plus 82 plus 77 plus 63. 541. And divide that by 8. I come out with an average of 67.63%. I went 2 decimal places for no reason. But not the best. Obviously, with my Final Fantasy, Tekken 8, really should have bumped up the average, but with 2 games in the 60s, 2 in the 70s, it makes sense why I didn't have such a ripper result. Max, yo. Your turn.
My turn.
Your first game was Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Dragon's Can you just come up? 86.
86. Not too bad. Your second title, another game that you thoroughly enjoyed. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Didn't review. I don't think it Metacritic well. 89.
89. Ooh, that's not bad.
That's fine.
Number 3, Silent Hill. Good one. I remember I didn't pick it because I was a bit skeptical on it at the time, but now having played it.
The 86.
86. Oh, I thought that would have been a bit higher. Number 4, Persona 3 Reload. Did. Is it Reload or Reloaded?
Reload. 87.
All right, well, you're picking pretty consistent so far, which is good. Number 5 was South Park Snow Day. Ooh.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's probably in your 60s.
I wish it hit 60.
What is it?
Let's see. 52.
Wow, that's rough.
60 for Switch and PC.
Number 6. Man, you were just swinging for the fences with this one, Skull and Bones.
Yeah, looking for that quad A game. It's 59.
Oof, rough. Number 7, Suicide Squad. Excuse me.
It's a big old 60.
Woo. And remember the last one?
Yeah, fucking Silk Song.
Sure was.
Which didn't come out.
All right, so let's do that math.
It's not looking good.
86. 89. 86. 87. 52. 59. 60. And 0. 519 divided by 8. In a result of 64.88%. By a really probably should have been a bigger margin, 3%. Sorry, not percentages, with an average result of 67.3 or an average result of 64. I did come out the winner. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I can thank pretty much exclusively Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Tekken 8. The rest of you really, really fucked up. But at least they did okay, which I appreciate. Max, this year on year off thing, like, it's really fun until we've done it now like 5 years in a row, 4 years in a row, however many years we've done this draft. It would be nice if we had like a through winner, but there's always next year.
There's always next year.
Which will be hard because next year there are very few games that we know of. Mm. So that'll be interesting in and of itself. But that does bring us to the end of our penultimate episode for 2024. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We do this each and every week, whether you like us to or not, but we appreciate that some of you like it. But, Max, you know how this goes.
Everyone knows how this goes. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Oh.